The story goes that there was a truck driver, and it was, it was either very late night or early morning, depending on how you reckon time at that point. And he's in a truck stop, and it's pretty isolated. He's about the only one in there. He's eating breakfast. And somewhere about halfway through his breakfast, there comes into the truck stop about three motorcyclists, bike riders. And they kind of look around. They realize, hey, the truck driver's by himself, so why not have a little fun? So one of them simply walked up to where the truck driver was seated at the counter, grabbed a piece of his toast and began to eat it, and kind of just smiled at him with that wry little smile like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And the truck driver just kind of looked around real quick, and he just kept eating. And so one of the other bikers kind of reaches over, grabs his cup of coffee, and pours it slowly into the middle of his breakfast. And with that, the truck driver again looks around and realizes three of them, one of him. So he simply gets up, walks over to the cash register, pays his bill, and walks out. Well, of course, the bikers are having a good time at this particular thing. They're really proud of what they've been able to accomplish. And so they're kind of over on the side, and the waitress, who's not really all that excited about going over to take the order, but she knows she has to, and so she goes over there, and one of them makes the remark to the waitress, well, that trucker, he's not much of a man, is he? And she said, no, he's not much of a driver either, because he just ran over three motorcycles getting out of the parking lot. Yeah, I know, it's an old story, but it's good. And y'all laugh because deep down inside you're saying yes. There's something inside of us that says, that's right. You treat somebody like that, then that's what you deserve. That's the natural inclination. It's where most of us live most of the time. Now, in the book of Matthew, in the gospel, there's three chapters that the people over the year have dubbed the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And there's a lot of stuff in there. Now, most of it, you know, I can kind of deal with, I'm challenged by it, but there's some of the things that Jesus said in these three chapters that just kind of rock my soul a little bit. It's like, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't even have any clue about how a person really goes about living what Jesus said. And there's a lot of theologians over the years, they've looked at it, and they've kind of said, you know what, Jesus must be describing some future time. He clearly could not have intended that we would live by these words right now, because there's just no way in which to do it. And they're right about one thing. They're right about the fact that we can't live by those words. They're wrong about the thing that Jesus didn't intend for us to live them, because he did. He said them, and he intends us to live by them. Now we can't, they're right. Without the presence of the incarnate Christ within us, there's things that he says we can't do if he doesn't give us the power in which to do them. In fact, what we're going to read this morning is one of those places. It falls into that category. Again, there's a lot of things in here. I like what Jesus had to say, but there's some other things that I just wish he hadn't said at all. And this is that particular case. Now, here Jesus is talking about love, and it's like, well, God's love, that's safe enough, right? We like God's love, but maybe after we hear what Jesus had to say about that love, maybe we're not going to be so thrilled with it after all. You see, I want God's love, at least the part of it that saves me and forgives me. I want the part that blesses and comforts me when I'm hurting. I want the part that fills me when I hunger for righteousness. The part that gives me mercy and peace. But I'm not sure I want to embrace all of it. Not if it means doing what Jesus said that we have to do. Because what Jesus said we have to do is just harder than I think anybody can. Now, some people aren't that hard to love, are they? I mean, really. Little Luke isn't hard to love, or Jesse, or any of the others that we've just really... Babies are easy to love. I can't believe that y'all aren't knocking down Mary Watt's door, getting back to the nursery so that you can rock and love on our babies. They're easy to love. Even those mischievous, ornery, you know, those cute little guys, you just know they're full of it. I mean, you take one look at them, you know, they're getting ready to do something they're not supposed to be doing, but we love them anyway. They're easy to love. And for the most part, even here, you're easy enough to love. Now, some of you are more of a challenge than others. That's true. But still, we're family. And families love each other. And so some people we don't mind loving, but others we do mind. And so it's kind of like, yes, Lord, when it comes to part of your love, rain it down upon my life, but don't give me too much of it. I want enough that I can enjoy the blessings of being loved, but I'm not sure I want enough of it that's going to cause me to love some of the people that you told me I've got to love. Truth is, what we want is God's love on our terms. That's the way we want to follow Jesus. That's the way we want to live out our faith. We want it, but we want it to be on our terms and not His. Because sometimes when we look at Jesus, what He calls us to do just seems unreasonable for us. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, we need to give to the poor. Okay. We can struggle a little bit with turning the other cheek. But the truth is, what Jesus had to say and what we're going to read this morning, it seems to me that Jesus just went too far. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Again, Jesus said, love your enemies. I mean, what on earth could he have been thinking when he said, why would he say such a thing? I mean, that goes beyond tough love, doesn't it? I mean, tough love is we love somebody so much that we're going to do what they need for us to do, whether they want us to do it for them or not. But this goes beyond tough love. I mean, what could Jesus have been thinking? Love the very people that want to hurt us and kill us? I mean, seriously? Is it really love what we feel when we're talking about people on the other side of the political aisle and we're talking about them? Is it really love that we're expressing? Is it really love that we feel when we see on the newscast ISIS and wreaking the evil that they're evil and the beheadings that they're doing? Is it really love that we feel? Or are we not more like James and John? Hey, Jesus, just send down some fire and take them people out. That's kind of what I hear. Some of the comments that I make, even from people that I know, you know, that have been in church all their life, I mean, they're calling for the heads of the ISIS to roll. They're not praying that they would experience God's love. In fact, if there's any consolation to this idea of loving our enemies, maybe we get a little bit from what Paul wrote. He said, you know, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. We don't get comfort out of that. Or if he's thirsty, give him a drink. This is the last part we do, though. He said, but in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. We got to be good to them. At least we want it to hurt, right? Yeah. Of course, if you read it within its context, we realize that's not what Paul meant at all by doing good things to them. Well, Jesus often used hyperbole, by the way, in order to drive home a point. But it's not hyperbole when he said, love your enemy. No, he meant what he said. And the only way that we can do what he said is to have his love incarnate within our own lives. We've got to have his love. And that's why each and every day we need to open up our lives to God and say, fill me yet again with your love, because there's no way that I can really live life the way that you want me to without it. See, that is what we have to do, because it's God's love at work within us. That's what makes a difference. Truth is, that's what God did for us. God loved us when we were enemies. And not that God was at war with us, but we sure were with God. We rejected God, but he loved us anyway. We ignored his love, but he loved us anyway. We often walked away from his love, but he loved us anyway. And still, God loved us. It just doesn't add up, does it? I mean, think of those who shunned Jesus, who mocked him, who took great gratification as they watched Jesus slowly die in the agony of death on a cross. And yet, even there, Jesus forgave. The truth is, at a place much closer to home, I can think about a time in my life when I certainly didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And I wasted a lot of time and a lot of years trying to do life my own way, and yet Jesus still loved. And even worse yet, even closer to home today, I find I still continue to sin. I find that I still struggle with faith at times. It's not as strong as it ought to be. I find myself trying to get Jesus to follow me instead of me wanting to follow him, and yet he keeps on loving. But really, is that not the message of the Bible? How that even when we don't understand, Jesus still keeps reaching out to us. On more than one occasion, Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Do you still not understand? Do you still not get it?" And they didn't. And we often do not either. Truth is, how many times has he poured his love out upon me, and yet at the first sign of trouble, I begin to question, does he really love me? It's kind of like the song goes, what does he have to do that he hasn't already done? The cross, this table, the bread and the juice, all reminders of the depth of his love. And it's deeper than we can ever know. Back in the late 1800s, the Norwegian explorer Nansen was measuring the depth of the Arctic Ocean. Remember, before technology, and what they did was they had long ropes and they were cordoned off in fathoms so that they could determine, you know, they let it over the side of the boat until it hit bottom, and then they pulled it up and measured it. That's how they did it. And so they were in one particular part of the ocean, they let it down, but they didn't hit bottom. So in his journal that day, he wrote down the number of fathoms the rope was, and he said, but deeper than that. And so they added more rope to it. In fact, they added all the rope they had to it after a couple of days, and still they didn't hit the bottom of the ocean. And each time in his journal, he would write deeper than that. In other words, it was deeper than they had the ability to ever measure. Folks, that's God's love for us. It is deeper than we can ever imagine or measure. So yes, I am so glad that Jesus wasn't like the truck driver. I am so glad that he loved us despite the way that we often treat him. And so here it comes. The truth is, as followers of Jesus, then we are to love, and we love even our enemies, even those that are out to get us, even those that do not like us. Paul said that we are to repay no one evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone, and everyone includes our enemies. Repaying wrong for wrong. See, that's what naturally we want to do. That's why we loved it when the truck driver did what he did. But Jesus wasn't the truck driver. No, when James and John, after Jesus had been shunned by a Samaritan village, and when they said, hey, Jesus, let's call down some fire and let's heat this place up. Jesus could have did that. He could have destroyed that village, but he didn't. He could have destroyed all of his enemies from the cross, and that even includes us today, but he chose to love and give his life for us instead. And we are to do good to those that hate us. See, that's scripture. We are to bless those that persecute us. That's scripture. We are to speak good about those that are lying about us. That's scripture. And it's also impossible without Christ within us. But his love will make a difference, and it changes us from the inside out. It'll still be hard, because it's always hard to overcome evil with good. But with God's love at work within us, it will happen. See, that's the example, isn't it? How many times have people, has good overcome evil? See, we think if we've got stronger might and power, we can take them out. But it's not about taking them out, it's about loving them. Think about what Paul witnessed that day outside of Jerusalem as the rocks were crashing off of Stephen's body. And the life was ebbing out of him as stone after stone hit his body. And when Stephen was dying, his prayer was not, Lord, may they burn in hell for what they're doing, but Lord, forgive them for what they're doing. Love your enemies, said Jesus. And I got to believe that those images and those words of Stephen were part of Paul's life for the rest of his life on this earth. And that's why he could write, you overcome evil with good. I will love you if you love me just isn't good enough. And no wonder Jesus ended this little passage with a call to maturity. He said, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, I'm thankful that Jesus loved me when I wanted nothing to do with him. When my life was simply hurting God, I'm glad that God in Christ simply kept saying, I love you and I want you to be a part of my family. So, church, the challenge is clear. In fact, it's right here in front of us, and it's probably more clear than we want it to be. Why would Jesus say such a thing that we love our enemies? Because he knows that what people need more than anything else in this world is his love. And when we faithfully and intentionally share the love of Christ, lives will be changed every single time. So yes, Lord, fill us with your love, even if it means we got to do something that on the inside we don't want to do. And when it comes to God's love, we're often our own worst enemy. I mean, somehow we get to thinking that, you know, God's going to ask us to do something we don't want to do, or life's more fun without Christ. Or maybe it's just as we don't want to turn loose. We don't want to love our enemy. There's somebody that we hate, and we don't want to ever stop hating them. And we know if we open our lives to God, that's what we got to do. But God loves us this morning. And that love was signed, sealed, and it was delivered. And the truth is, he wrote it in the red of his own blood from Calvary. And the truth is, we should hear him this morning say those words, I love you. And I so much want you to be a part of my family. See, that's the invitation that Christ extends this morning through the bread and through the cup. And so as we take just a few moments of silent prayer, just listen. Listen and hear him speak those three beautiful words to you. Let's pray. How sweet those words, Lord. We thank you for loving us. And even though we never love you the way that we should, Lord, we commit ourselves to trying to do better today and tomorrow. In Christ's love and in your name, amen. If the stewards that are serving this morning would come and prepare the table. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we're asking you to do yet another miracle. That through this bread and through this cup that we would experience the very real and powerful love that you have for us. A love that has forgiven us, a love that has called us to be a part of your family, a love that sends us out into a world that so desperately needs your love. And so, Lord, as we each partake, Lord, may we hear your voice reassure us, not only that you're always with us, but that you're always going to love us. So take these emblems now and consecrate them as only you can do. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Gentlemen, we can never, ever earn his love. We can't do anything to make him love us more, and we can't do anything to make him love us less. But because he died for us and we asked him into our lives, his love will always be in us. Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And then he shared the cup with them. And he told them that this represented his shed blood, which was poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. We practice open communion here, which means you do not have to be a member of our church in order to come to the altar and to not only to express your love, but to receive Christ's love for you. The only thing that is required is that you have done just that, that you've opened your life to Him, that you said, "Yes, Lord, I embrace your love, your forgiveness, and I want to live for you." And so if you've done that this morning, you're invited to come and to take the bread and to take the cup. We do it in groups. And so there are no assigned groups. They simply will do it until everyone has been served. And so come in whatever time and whatever group you choose. And if you need us to, at the end of the service, we would be very honored to simply bring the emblems to you if it is too difficult for you to come to the front. So if the first group would please come to the altar to receive the emblems of our faith. If you choose to kneel, that's fine. If you choose to stand, that is fine. The communion altar is about love. It is a love where Jesus died for us. It's what we needed Him to do. And so it is at this altar that it represents that we have found life, that we've chosen to open our lives and received His forgiveness. So let the Holy Spirit now, through the bread and through the cup, fill you and assure you of God's great love. Taste the love of Christ as you eat the bread. For Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Taste of Christ's love as you drink the cup. For Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so today, as always, like the psalmist understood, trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Amen. May you go in peace. The communion altar is about many, many things. But it clearly is about the love of Christ and His love for us, doing for us what we never could do for ourselves. But because of His body and His blood that was shed and given at Calvary, we can have life and we can have it abundantly. May the Holy Spirit, through the bread and the cup, fill you and assure you with God's love. Taste of Christ's love as you eat the bread. For Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Taste of Christ's love for you as you drink the cup. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so today, as always, be persuaded like Paul was persuaded. He said that there is nothing in all of creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May you go in peace. The communion altar is about the love of God, specifically the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so today, as you have knelt here, you have not only proclaimed your love, but you have opened your life that you might receive His love. So let the Holy Spirit, through the bread and the cup this morning, fill you and assure you of God's love that will always be eternal. Taste Christ's love as you eat the bread, for Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Taste how sweet the love of God as you drink the cup. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so today, as always, understand that this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. May you go in peace. You have gathered around a very special place. It is a place where you will experience the love of God. Here you'll find that Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourselves. And so it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that through this bread and through this cup this morning, you will hear God speak to your soul. "Yes, I love you. I love you enough to die for you. I love you enough to live for you." Taste Christ's love as you eat the bread, for Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Taste how good the love of God is as you drink the cup. For Jesus said, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so today, as every day, know that God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. May you go in peace. The communion altar is indeed a place of love, a love where Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that He bore our sins at Calvary that we might be forgiven, and that through the mercy of God, we might be saved. So let the Holy Spirit this morning, through the bread and through the cup, may it fill you and assure you of God's great love for you. Taste Christ's love now as you eat the bread. For Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. Taste how sweet the love of God is as you drink the cup. Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. May you today and always live life in light of these words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go in peace. The communion altar is a very special place. It is a place of love. Where Jesus simply extends His love to us. He died for us, yes, but He lives also for us today. And as you kneel, may you embrace His love for your life and for your family. And through the Holy Spirit, may this bread, may this cup fill you and assure you of God's rich love. Taste Christ's love as you eat the bread. For Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. Taste how sweet the love of God is as you drink the cup. Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And by kneeling at this altar, you proclaim that this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. May you go in peace. This is a special place. It's special because you have chosen to open your life and to invite Christ into your life. And in so doing, He not only became your Savior, but He became your Lord. So let the Holy Spirit now reaffirm the commitment that you made to Christ long ago, that through this bread and through this cup, that you will have the great assurance of God's enduring and eternal love. Taste of Christ. as you eat the bread and experience his love. For Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. Taste of Christ's sweet love as you drink the cup. Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The psalmist said, I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God, and I will always trust in his unfailing love. May you go in peace. This is a special place and a special time as you remember and reflect upon what Christ did for you. It was because of his love that he so willingly gave his life that we might be forgiven. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, may this bread and may this cup fill you and then assure you that Jesus loves you. Taste Christ's love as you eat the bread, for Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. Taste how sweet the love of God is as you drink the cup. Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And always know that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his Son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might have life through him. May you go in peace. Is there anyone here this morning that would need us to bring the bread and the cup to you?
Choral benediction, in my life, Lord, be glorified. May we sing it as a commitment and praise to our God, singing together. Until we meet again, may God bless you, and you are dismissed.